I thank you and I praise you for this day, and I thank you for all the many blessings you've given us. And I pray for this study this morning. Lord, I pray that it would be beneficial to all of us. And I thank you for the food this morning, for the spiritual and the physical food that you've given us. And thank you for this morning. And I pray for the service when we go downstairs, Lord, that it would be that we would honor and glorify you with our worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, man. Very good job. I think he's ready to preach the class. What do you think? We got him on that list, Bob, for doing some of our classes. All right, we got Freddie coming in the door. Freddie, is your brother with you?
No.
All right. Today is the last day of part one of our Biblical Worldview class. This will be the eighth week. I will be coming back in the fall to do the second eight classes. Bob, who we have next week is going to be doing some teaching.
During the summer, during the interlude between Pastor Don's two classes, what we thought we would take a look at all the parables as Jesus, or as many as we can cover. Fred and I are going to be doing the majority of the work. Oh, and we're also... hey, don't ham it up. That's my job. Yeah. And we're also going to bring in some guest speakers like Kenny, Ed. So that should cover the summer. And then Pastor Don will be back in the fall.
Yeah, I want to take the summer off, so I put these guys to work. And that way I can kind of, you know, be lazy. Actually, these guys do a good job. That's why we try to get different teachers in here, not for any more than 6 to 8 weeks. All right, so we're talking about having a Christian worldview. Sammy, what's it mean? Give him the microphone. What's it mean to have a Christian worldview?
Sure. You said a biblical worldview?
Yeah, Christian biblical worldview.
It means that everything in life, our belief system, and every area that we live goes back to the Bible, and we allow that to be the final judgment in our life.
Yeah, very good, very good. You get an A there, brother. You get an A.
I'm Arabic.
That's right. You Arabs are smart.
We are.
Not as smart as us Polacks, but you're close. All right, he's exactly right. So what we do is we try to look at all life through a biblical lens. And what we mean by that is, what does the Bible say about particular topics? So we have a tendency to think that the Bible's just there for religious things. But this class, if you've learned anything, that everything in life has its foundation in religion. So economics, politics, education, everything. All right? And so today our title is The Consequences of Holding or an Alien Worldview. There's consequences when you hold on to something that is wrong. All right? And we'll look at a little video here real quickly. Week one, understanding the nature of the problem. The problem is that most people in the church have no idea what the Bible says about certain things. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he told his disciples, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And most churches leave it right there. They don't pick up the second part. It says, in discipling them or teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded. So the job of the early church and the church today is to teach the world the law, the precepts of God, so that it can impact the world. We're in a horrible situation now with the economics in the United States, right? Why? We have leadership that takes money and overspends. They have a budget, and they overspend it year after year after year, okay, which, according to the Bible, is wrong. And then what they do is they begin to print money, and it inflates or deflates the value of the currency, which is wrong. It's stealing is what it is. So you have all these things that get tied back to what the Scriptures have to say. Week two, we saw that there's aliens in our midst. I've been using this whole class, little video clips. We're going to see another one today from the different alien movies. But when I talk about aliens, it means just different ways of thinking that impact our society. So when this nation was founded, it was founded on Christian ideals. Over the last 200 years, that's changed to a secular ideas. And now we see Islam coming in and having an impact in a lot of areas. All right? Our job as Christians is to destroy all these ideas, destroy all these alien ideas. Okay? So that is what evangelism is. We should be able to sit down. You know, Anthony, when he goes to the Middle East, he takes the time, sits down with people, and tries to share the Scripture. First of all, get them saved and get confidence in the Word of God that it is direction for all of life. You're going to see that people that have these alien worldviews, okay, they realize what they believe. They're trying to implement it in all parts of life. Okay? We looked at how knowing how the enemy thinks. You know, those of you that were involved in sports, you know that one of the jobs of a coach is trying to figure out what's the opposition going to do. What are their techniques? What are their, you know, what are the ways that they fight a battle? I remember the movie Patton. Early in the movie Patton, he's in the North African desert and he was fighting against Rommel, and he was studying Rommel's book. And then what happened was he defeated Rommel's troops. And I remember the one scene, he takes the book, "You SOB, I studied you, I knew you. I knew you better than you knew yourself." Which he did, because he knew the tactics of the enemy. And as Christians, we have to know the tactics of the enemy. Overrun by aliens, a couple weeks ago, we had two-parter there. Last week, we looked at all worldviews. All religions have things in common. A lot of them are hidden below the surface that we don't know, and we call those assumptions or presuppositions, and that's what they operate on. And you know, when the atheist says that, well, you Christians operate on faith, and we don't. We believe in logic, and we believe in reason, and we showed you that they also operate on faith. So everybody starts on faith, all right? So we discussed and listed all the commonalities of the various worldviews and how they either compare or conflict. You guys had some sheets. We didn't go over those. That's for your own reading, just to kind of get a general idea that they all have something to say about all these different areas in life. Okay? All right, today we want to listen and discuss the consequences of holding to an alien worldview. Then we want to examine some challenges to the Christian worldview and their thoughts about progressing their own worldview. All right, opening video, Independence Day, alien attack. We're just going to play about a minute of this. The only reason I'm showing you this is what happens when a foreign religious belief comes into a society. Okay?
Il tempo è scaduto.
You can hit the light. Go ahead and hit that. I think you got the point there. And the point is when these other religions come into a nation or society, it begins to immediately what? Destroy it. And though you might think to yourself, well, this is kind of over the top, you know, this is exactly what happens. And all you have to do is look throughout the world today and you see, let's take, for example, the nations that Islam controls. What kind of freedoms they have there? Give Anthony the microphone. Anthony, give us just a little background of things that you've seen, because he's been to the Middle East, he's been to some of these countries, and seen the bad effect that Islam will have. Go ahead.
Well, this will be the shortest answer ever. What freedoms do they have? There aren't many. Yeah. There's none.
Right.
So as far as what? Just like the atrocity scene, I haven't necessarily seen, you know, human rights violations, but just as far as I remember, Jordan was a great example of this. They had in the downtown square this nice lofty saying about equal rights, and everybody had freedom and civil liberties and things like that. And I'm just sitting here saying, like, what country is this for? They must have imported this from, like, Europe or something as a souvenir because it doesn't apply. I mean, the Middle East in general is a very safe place as long as you go by the status quo. But as soon as you break out of the box in any sort of way, whether it be political dissent or thinking differently in a religious sense, that's when you see there's no freedoms whatsoever.
Right. You know, Anthony was telling me about if he had the name of the country Israel on his passport, what would happen?
There are only two countries that'll let you in to the Middle East if you have an Israeli stamp. So, like, a lot of people didn't want to go to Israel just because they would be banned. When I was traveling through Syria, I had gotten a it's a complicated story, but pretty much they knew I went to Israel even though it wasn't in my passport. So they were, like, discussing and having a little dialogue amongst themselves. And then finally they just right above the suspicious stamp that wasn't Israel, but they knew that's what I had, where I had been. They just took the thing, just whacked it down on the table and just threw me my passport back and said, you know, get out of here. So the only two countries that will allow you to go into their country after being in Israel is only because they have a signed peace treaty and they get subsidies and money from the U.S. government.
Right, right. They're bribed, really, to allow people to transfer us back and forth. Yes.
Just within recent history, if we take a look at Cambodia, when the Khmer Rouge took over, the first thing they did was destroy every piece of culture and then went into the past. The temples and stuff that the people had their heritage from destroyed that. Anyone that had any type of knowledge, they got rid of them. They either killed them or put them out on a farm and started from zero. When an alien culture comes in to make their culture work, they have to completely
destroy,
get rid of, just like God told the Israelites when they went into the Promised Land. Destroy everything that's there. You have to have a barren ground, good barren ground to start working with.
Exactly right. And we destroy, we have an objective too, is to destroy, but it's by in the mental realm, by taking what every thought captive, destroying all arguments and speculation from the Word of God. You know, I was thinking when you mentioned Cambodia, there's a movie called The Killing Fields. After we pulled out of Vietnam and the communists were in Cambodia, there are guesstimates that they put to death two-thirds of their population. If you wore glasses, you were put to death because they considered you an intellectual. So they had to whitewash and remove everything so that they could plant a whole new society. And if you study about the communists, you study about all these Islam, all these different things, you see that's exactly what they do. So once Islam gains ascendancy in Europe, you're going to hear this in a minute from their own mouth, what they plan to do. And they have greater and greater influence here. And that's our job, is to continue to evangelize, continue to pray. Jesus said this, the thief, meaning all these false ideas, that anything that's anti-Christian, okay, the thief meaning the devil and all the things he inspires, he comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, just like we saw in that video. And they're going to steal everything, and they're going to kill everyone, and they're going to destroy. And you may not see the like we saw in that movie, but underneath, working its way like a corrosive acid, will be their ideology that will impact the schools and the elite, and then eventually will impact the society in the direction, the law that it implements. Okay? All right. Some consequences of holding to an alien worldview. This is total destruction. As we go down this list, ask yourself, is this happening in our country? Is that happening in our country? Is something being destroyed there? What's being destroyed? A future generation. Is that against the Word of God? Abortion? Oh yeah, it's murder. I don't care that it's the law of the land, it's murder. Even heathen nations, you know, recognize that a child in the womb had protection and rights. And so if you struck a woman that was pregnant and she miscarried and that baby died, guess what? You were put to death. But the Bible teaches us that women that are pregnant should be protected. There's actually laws in the Old Testament that if two men were fighting and they hit a woman and miscarried or died, one of them were going to be put to death. That's how important life is to God.
We actually murder that baby.
That's right.
Who's
It's like this abortion doctor that they just tried. Babies were being born alive, and then he would inject them with a saline or put them in some type of solution where they would die. Now, if he'd have gone into the mother's womb and dismembered that child, nothing would have been said. But because that child was born, and even then they were fighting for this guy trying to find him not guilty. You see how screwed up our thinking is? 2 minutes before he's in the mother's womb, it's okay. 2 minutes later he's born. Well, you can't put him to death now. Sexual promiscuity. Is that something that is destroying the nation? We just talked about, you know, that abortion pill that was just, you had to have a prescription to get it over the counter. Now you had a judge just remove the age limit. It was 16 or 15. Now it's a 3-year-old could walk in there and get it if they wanted. And Planned Parenthood is behind it. This is unbelievable what is going on. Destroying the moral fabric. Do they adhere to a moral standard anymore? Oh, yeah, they do. But it's their own moral standard, okay? It's not a Christian standard. They still have a standard, whatever that is. All right. Sexual deviancy redefined. Homosexuality is a great lesson there, right? Back in the 50s and 60s, if you were caught in some type of homosexual, you know, situation, that was a felony. You were put in jail. Now, you're celebrated. President of the United States, come out and say what a brave person you are. What's that? No, that was all. Every state had sodomy laws. They were very rarely, because it was done in private. Now, George Washington actually had caught, there were two men back when he was leading the Continental Army that were involved in a homosexual act, and he hung them both. Yeah. And his reason for it was taken from the scripture, that this was an abomination to God, and it was also, it kind of destroyed the foundation of the military. Now, if you're a homosexual in the military, you probably have yourself a position of leadership. A nihilistic world. What's that word nihilistic mean? Nihilistic. Look it up. Anybody know what that means? No. It means just no hope. What is it? Yeah, it's like it doesn't matter because nothing's, yeah. Skepticism, nothing will work. You just have this look outlook in life, Schlepprock outlook. Nothing's going to work. It's all going to fall down. Why get involved? Life has no meaning. Okay? Societal turmoil, revolution. You know, you can have revolution without cannons and guns and bayonets, can't you? And that's what we're undergoing right now. If you remember when President Obama ran for office, his campaign was change. Well, he knew exactly what he was going to try to change his country into. It was a socialist Muslim nation. It wasn't a capitalistic Christian nation. And people just said, oh, yeah, he's going to bring change. And you ask him, well, what kind of change are you going to bring? I don't know, but he said he's going to bring change. He brought change, didn't he, Jerry? Increase in false religion influence. Do we have that in our nation? You know, you go back 40 years ago, somebody who was a Muslim, they didn't have influence with the representatives or with our president. Now they're invited in on a daily basis. The Muslim Brotherhood has been in the Oval Office numerous times this year. And who are we supporting in all these countries? Muslim Brotherhood, who's a terrorist organization. Poverty, political tyranny, all these things, just like that video we saw, are working total destruction of our nation. Family disintegration, yes.
You kind of whipped by that one, but poverty, that is a great tool they use.
Yes.
If you keep the people down, needing the government, they will never overthrow you. Because they don't have anything else. You keep them relying on you, that you're being the government is their savior and only hope. They have complete control.
That's right. And all these things are a result of embracing, whether it's Islam, secular humanism, which is the predominant worldview in our nation today, all these other things. But when Christianity, this nation, hey, we exported food for free. We could feed the world five or six times over because of God's blessing that was on this nation.
They said we could feed the world five or six times over with the food that we
threw away. You're right, that we dumped in the ocean. Unbelievable, the blessing of God that was on our lives.
And you see, too, as the Christian viewpoint goes down, poverty goes up.
That's
hand
right.
in hand.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And then finally, eternal punishment in hell. All these other views will lead to an eternity in hell for those that hold to them. We know that in Christianity, hey, our job is to convert people so they have eternal life. They spend their life after this life with God and Christ in heaven. But all these other ones take you away from Christ. In fact, Christ will always be persecuted. Christians will always be persecuted and demonized because it's a competing worldview. All right. You're going to like this video. One Muslim who is telling the truth. You hit the lights there, please. I want you to listen to what this guy says. That may not go far.
Mr. Chaudhry, I'm Kathleen Parker, and I have a question for you. If I understood you correctly, you said a bit ago that you support any Muslim doing the work of a Muslim. Can you describe exactly what you mean by the work of a Muslim?
Yes, I believe that Islam is submission, and that applies to every aspect of our life, whether
every
in our relationship with our families, our relationship with society, even the way that we address people and invite them to Islam. Jihad is not something which, you know, the Muslims are permanently engaged in, but there is jihad to liberate Muslim land, which is an obligation for the Muslims to support verbally, financially, and physically to liberate and to defend our life and our property. And of course, this is something, you know, the Muslims around the world, I don't think will differ with. They may say one thing to you in front of CNN, but I can assure you behind your backs, in every masajid, in every community center, they are standing with their Muslim brothers and sisters saying, we hope the Americans and British are pushed out of our countries and we can implement the Sharia. So this is an Islamic obligation for us to support our brothers around the world. Our land is one, our war is one, our peace is one, our honor is one. But we don't need to be in a constant state of this flux of, you know, a cycle of violence. I think that we can have a decent relationship. You withdraw your troops, stop supporting the pirate state of Israel, and then perhaps we can have a dialogue and discussion. These warnings are there in the statements of Sheikh Osama bin Laden, Sheikh Amin al-Zawahiri, you know, Adam Ghaddan. You know, why is the American establishment not taking heed? I think that is the real question.
But you also want to impose Sharia law where you live. Does that mean that, does the work of a Muslim mean imposing Sharia law on everyone who is not a Muslim, including Americans?
Look, the Sharia law is the divine law sent by God to the final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is justice for mankind. It will take mankind out of the shackles of man-made law into the perfection and beauty of divine law. So, of course, I want that. I want that everywhere. I want to share that with you. Surely it's a very noble thing to invite someone to a superior way of life. You know, if I believe that people are being oppressed, why should I not invite them to come out of that oppression? I believe that the Americans, the British, indeed most of the world, have been living in the darkness of the hegemony and the exploitation of man-made law for many, many decades. But, you know, when we open the door, when we shine the light, people don't like the light. But, you know, I think you'll find that when people actually have a look at Islam, when they look at the Sharia, they will see that it, in fact, has a solution for every single problem that is facing America and Britain nowadays, you know, from the inflation to the credit crunch to the exploitation.
Mr. Chaudhry, are you communicating with individuals in the United States and encouraging them to participate in attacks of this sort?
Of course I am. You know, I am participating in communication with people all around the world. As you know, the internet makes the world a very small place. You know, we have a lot of support. In fact,
right,
post Wooten Bassett from people as far as afield as Indonesia, from India.
You know, if you change where he said Muslim or something and change ever that
to Christian,
he's telling the truth.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, you and I like what he said. He said, you know, to your face, you're going to tell you one thing, but behind your back, in every community center, every mosque, everywhere, in every school, guess what they're being taught? Islam is going to conquer the world. Now, they do it through force or conversion. We do it through conversion. All right? Let's see what... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Give Anthony here. That's all right.
I need the exercise.
I just want to say, obviously, you know, his worldview is, you know... is not on point, but from his point of view, he does really think that that is what is good for the world.
Sure.
And, you know, with guys like that, it's important to remember that this guy in a lot of ways is like the Apostle Paul before, you know, when he was Saul. And so I think, I can't remember if we were talking about this last week or whatever, but it's definitely important to remember the threat, but it's also important to remember that God has a plan for him and that we're to be praying for guys like these, sharing the gospel with them. And he could just be, you know, 1 month or 1 year away from becoming the most hardcore Christian out there. So, but his purpose is, in his heart, he's doing what he thinks is right, but he's terribly wrong.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and I like that point that I wish most Christians had this guy's zeal and honesty.
That's right.
To say, this is what we're trying to do.
Yep.
Okay? And I like what Anthony said, that he could just be a day away, like the Apostle Paul, converting to Christianity. By the way, Sammy, do you remember Sam Mahoon, the guy from the Jesus or Muhammad from Chicago? And then there's another guy by the name of Waleed Shubat, whose father was the head of the PLO back in the 60s, and he converted to Christianity. So we see in the Muslim world that a lot of these type of individuals are converting to Christianity, okay? But when they do it, what usually happens? They're hunted down, you know? They're rejected by their society. They'll be put to death because they apostatized from the true religion of Islam, so they think. But the zeal that this guy has, hey, he made no bones about it. Yes, we want to implement Sharia law. We as Christians, we ought to say we want to implement biblical law.
Yes.
That's the most just system that the world is ever going to see. How do we know it? Because Jesus Christ gave it to us. And we see that the law is at odds with
He said
wrong.
He wanted to get rid of man-made laws. He
yep.
was absolutely
you
right.
You got
so
that
do
right.
I.
So do we.
That's right.
So do we. You notice he said these are things, the challenge, you will submit. Islam means what? Submission. How about Christianity? Any religious view, even secular humanism, you will submit to the prevailing view. Look at these kids or people that speak out against homosexuality. What happens to them? Are they forced to submit?
Yes.
Basketball player, after this one guy came out and said, you know, he's a gay basketball player, one of the other basketball players said, I'm not going with that. They fined him $75,000. Then he came out and gave an apology. They will make you submit to their worldview. It applies to all of life. Did that guy say Islam applies to all life?
Yes.
Yeah. Is our Bible applied to all of life?
Yes.
Raising your children? How you spend your money, save your money, what you believe? Yes, everything. It is warfare, intellectually, physically, and spiritually for him. Are we in a warfare? That's this whole purpose's worldview clash. Yes, we're in a warfare. Now, we don't battle like the world battles, but we battle with the weapons that the Spirit of God gives us, right? With the gifts of the Spirit, the Word of God, all these things, we do spiritual battle. But they take it into the physical, and eventually the world has to enter into a physical battle with these people, just like Nazism or communism. It's an obligation for all Muslims. Jihad, he was talking about. Jihad just means warfare. Okay? Now, most Muslims will tell you that, well, that means prayer and fasting, blah, blah, blah. But the culmination of all that is physical warfare if necessary. It's deceptive. Ask him, hey, are you working with people in this country? What'd he say? Oh, sure. Yeah, I support them. I'd be a hypocrite not to. We didn't get into it. I turned it off, but the commentator there, he says, you know, I'd put you in jail and blah, 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 blah. And the guy's like, yeah, you're really scaring me.
Even during World War II, we had tens of thousands of people that were Nazis.
Yeah.
Living here.
Yeah.
They were Americans, but embraced that ideology and wanted it here.
That's right. And they worked behind the scenes. In all the countries they went in, they would have their people there already preparing the ground for the acceptance of Germany to come in or their ideology. It promises to bring with it a better way of life. What'd he say? Yeah, I want people to come out of darkness. I want people to have a better life. This is God's best. Was he convinced of that?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Somebody who's a secularist, do they believe that their way of life is better than the Christian way of life?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay? It has the solution for every problem of life. Does Christianity have it? Yeah. How about secularism? Yeah, they'll tell you they got the answer for everything in life. Government takes care of everybody. We see how that works. Islam, same way. Communism, same way. There are those in our country now who are working hard to advance their cause. Is that happening? How hard should we be working to advance the cause of the kingdom? Getting in His Word, prayer, evangelism, support of missions. All these things add up to the kingdom of God expanding throughout the world. Okay? Madeline Murray O'Hara, she's an atheist. You remember she's the one that got the prayer and Bible study out of the schools back in the early 60s, said this about atheism, which is one of the alien views. The atheist realizes that there must not only be an acceptance of his right to hold his opinion, but that ultimately his is the job to turn his culture from religion to eliminate those irrational ideas which have held the human race in intellectual slavery. The atheist must abandon his defensive position, take up the cudgels, go forward rather than into retreat of apathy. Is she an evangelist? Is she promoting a worldview? Was she successful?
Yes.
Yes, she was. We see our schools now, you can't even mention the name of Jesus. Used to be they start every day off with a simple little generic prayer. Teachers could come in there and, you know, have a Bible. Now they'd be fired. I am convinced this is the guy who, one of the guys that formulated the whole education process from the 30s and 40s for the United States Public Education School. John Dunphy's his name. I'm convinced that the battle for humankind's future must be waged and won where? In the public school classrooms by teachers who correctly perceive their role as proselytizers of a new what? Religion. These teachers must embody the same selfish dedication as the most rabid fundamentalist preachers. The classroom must and will become the arena of conflict between the old and the new, the rotting corpse of Christianity, together with its adjacent evils and miseries, and the new faith of humanism. Is secularism a religion? You better believe it. John Dewey, another father of modern public education, signer of the Humanist Manifesto, I believe that public education is the fundamental method of social progress and reform. How are they changing the culture? Take over to schools. Take over to education. This conception has due regard for what? Socialistic ideals. You wonder why all our intellectuals and all the colleges tend towards socialism? Here it is, right here. There is no God and there is no soul. I wonder how he knows that. There is no room for fixed or moral absolutes except his statement that there is no room for fixed or moral. Is that an absolute statement? Well, that's what you call in logic that you undermine your own self. So it's a false statement. Okay? You make a statement and the statement itself undermines what you're trying to do. So he's making a fixed statement that there are no fixed statements, which is a contradiction in logic. All right, video number three. The importance of a secular worldview. Well, we're going to skip that because it's just a guy talking about, I think you got the idea. Well, I got one more video that I want to show you here. This is another signer of the Humanist Manifesto. You can go online and read. These are people that were in our government positions. These are people that control the schools, the entertainment industry, everything, businesses.
Look at the date there. It says in a generation how a thought will change. What's 40 years, a generation?
Yeah.
1970. Was that what was being preached in the colleges? Was that what was being preached on TV? The so-called hippie movement, that's exactly what they were preaching.
That's exactly right. The hippie movement itself was an alien worldview. They're protesting the war and this and that, free love. But if you took their wallet, guess what? Or you took their girlfriend, they were going to raise some objections. Education is thus a most powerful ally of humanism. And every American school is a school of humanism, huh? And you wonder why we have people that are so insistent on homeschooling or parochial schooling. Because when you go to the public school, you're going to get their view of life. And it's not going to be the Christian view. What can a theistic Sunday school meeting for an hour once a week and teaching only a fraction of the children do to stem the tide of a five-day program of humanistic teaching? What can it do? Not much. But we have the power of God, we have the Holy Spirit, so we definitely can come against it. All right, I want to show you this video here. Penn Jillette, remember the magician, says the world would be a better place if. Now, this guy is an agnostic, really kind of atheist. But the thing I like about Paulette here is his honesty. Go ahead and play the video.
But when we say religion can make good people do bad things, I do think we've got to not lump all religions together.
Right.
I think it's a mistake to put the Judeo-Christian. Here's a really blunt question: and would the world be a better or a worse place if a billion Muslims became evangelical Christians tomorrow?
Watch Glenn Beck.
Oh, hang on just a second. This is great. Hang on just
he
a second.
He knows
we got a camera. We got to take a picture of this. Go ahead.
And for Paulette, this is like pulling teeth what he says.
This is going to be good.
Would the world be a better place?
The Jewish rabbi had a great question.
Yeah, give me bones on that one.
All other things.
You don't have to answer that.
Everything else being equal, I think yes.
Oh.
So we agree.
I think yes.
We agree on that.
I think yes.
Amazing, isn't it? Now that guy, Paulette, is an agnostic. He don't believe in a God. You'll see a lot of his videos, he's ridiculing it. He respects Christians because they at least confront him with an idea that there is a God. And he says, when they witness to me, they're actually telling me that they love me, they care about my soul. And here he is on the Glenn Beck show, he's sitting with that rabbi, and they're talking about Islam and Christianity, all these world religions. And the rabbi says, let's not make this foolish idea that all religions are the same, because they're not. And there's different consequences that when you hold a one. And so he asked him that question. Would the world be a better place if a billion Muslims converted to Christianity? And you saw he hated to say it, but what did he say? He said yes. Could you imagine what the Middle East would look like now? What the world would look like now if they all converted to Christianity? Be a totally different world, wouldn't it? Not saying that the world would be perfect, some utopia. It'd sure be a whole lot better than what it is now.
We could even say it'd be better here if a million Americans would convert next week. This would be a better country, wouldn't it?
How about if most in so-called churches converted? Okay. All right, let's conclude here. It's our concluding scripture for the first half. And when I come back in the fall, we're actually going to compare and contrast different ideas. So like sociology, we'll look and see what one side says, as opposed to what society should, how it should be run. Psychology, biology, politics, okay? We'll have 8 different topics that we'll go through, and we'll look at what does the Bible say about it. You know, the way that you view man is very important. So viewing man in psychology, what is man? Christianity says we're made, what, in the image of God? We reflect His glory. We're in a fallen state because of the sin of Adam and Eve. But we still reflect the glory of God, and there's dignity and there's worth even in these young babies that are born deformed, isn't there? But the secular view says mankind is nothing but a highly evolved animal. And these young children or people that are weak, they can be eliminated because they're just taking up valuable resources and space and time. And you see how everything flows from those views. Which view are we going to go with? Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, should be through 7, not 78. My goal, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Christians in Colossae, says this, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. Isn't that what Christianity, uniting people in the love of Christ? So that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. In other words, what he's saying was, we want to understand where everything came from, the purpose of life, what our purpose in life is. We have to know Christ, because without that, we're going to make up a purpose. Okay? In order that they may know the mystery of God. And what's the mystery of God? Namely, Jesus Christ. He's the mystery of God. He's the incarnate God in the flesh. But notice what it says. In whom? In Christ. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You remember the disciples? Jesus went to them And he's talking with Peter, and he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And Peter said this, Lord, you know all things. All things. He knows every law of physics. He knows every molecule, where it's be, where it's going, how it comes together. He knows everything. And it's only in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, these things don't have any meaning. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. And that's what we've been talking about, isn't it? For though I am absent from you in body, in other words, he wasn't in the city, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ Jesus is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And know what he says, here's the warning. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy or religions, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than Christ. And what he's basically saying here is don't buy in to the world's way of thinking. Buy into what Christ has to say in his philosophy on life. And when the world, when the church does, when a society does, it comes under his blessing. And when it deviates from his word and moves away from it, it comes under his curse. So I hope during these last 8 weeks, anyways, it sparked you to study the word a little bit. There are many, many books out there. If you like to know some books that you can read, one of the books I recommend for all Christians is a book called Understanding the Times. Big, thick book. It's a great reference book. It's on biblical worldview. But this is how we take our faith into all the world to evangelize the world and bring the kingdom of God. Bob?
Eddie and I are going to run with what you've been talking about, too, with our four-week class, How to Be a World Changer. Pastor Don has shown us the last 8 weeks that the worldview that's part of our culture now needs to be changed back to what it should be. But how do we do that? How I, as an individual, do that? And we're going to take those 4 weeks and try and explain that so to build on your next 8 weeks.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's close in prayer, and I appreciate you guys coming out in the morning, and hopefully, like I said, this has sparked something too. Let's give it that microphone to
Kim,
would you close us in prayer, please? Kim.
Thank you, God. Thank you for these last 8 weeks, Lord God. Thank you for inspiring us through your word, Lord. I just pray that we would just take all that you've given us, Lord God, through this class, Lord God, and that we would just go forward with your word and your truth. Lord, bless us during the service today, Lord God. May we bring honor to your name, Lord God. May we worship you with all our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.